Okay, strangely enough, I am going to be starting on church on normal time, not Church of Christ time, because they told me I only had 40 minutes, so I can't start 5 minutes late, which of course is Church of Christ time. So I'm having to start actually on time today, so I'm just kind of watching the clock waiting. I was going over what I was going to say today and making my notes. And as you can see, my notes are PowerPoint, because I have to keep clicking, one, to give me something to do because I'm ADD and I can't just stand and talk, and two, to keep me on task because I tend to chase rabbits as I go, and I was like, oh, that'd be a good thing to say. We should talk about that now. So I've got it focused and narrowed. We're going to try our best to stay where we need to be. Hi, welcome. Come on in. Like church, you get here late, you sit in front. Back pew fills up first. It's just the way it is. Later, that's the key. Okay, to check my demographic, how many people do we have? Children's ministers, employees of churches? Okay, awesome. Where? Okay. Awesome. Do we have coordinators? I do Bible hour, I do teach Sunday school. I try to get other people to teach Sunday school, but somehow I do it every Sunday. Okay, I'm with that. That's good. Glad you guys are here too. What we're going to kind of be discussing, I didn't like the title, but I took it because they gave it to me. How to improve children's worship. I don't know how to improve it. You guys are probably doing a fantastic job as it is. There's no improving. So all I'm going to kind of cover today is some things that I like and have found that have really worked. And others that have really not. And another thing, I'll get started in about 3 minutes. I'll give a quick introduction. My VIP section in the back is my wife, Christy, my mom, Gail, and my dad, Bobby. And I told mom and dad, you guys do not have to come to this class because, y'all taught me. And so I'm just going to be regurgitating what you taught me through the years. And so, but we're just going to kind of be discussing some different aspects of worship, some different ideas of how to do worship and things like that. I also wanted to show off my PowerPoint skills because I'm technologically impaired. And so we didn't quite get the screen up that I was hoping. So I've got my notes in there. Y'all just pretend that it looks amazing when the font comes up and blinks and stuff, and you can just go, ooh, every once in a while, and that'll be fine. I can keep going off of that. So, all right, I show 60 seconds out, so I'm going to get going. Hi, come on in. Yes, come in, have a seat. This is going to be just a quick 40-minute, because they told me I only have 40 minutes. I learned when I was in seminary, there's three ups that every preacher needs to know. Stand up, speak up, and shut up, and you're done. And so I pretty much have 40 minutes to do exactly that, and that's what I'm going to push through. A little bit about myself. My name is Eric Brunson. I'm from San Antonio, Texas. I grew up in East Texas in Palestine. Look at there. Started working in children's ministry, I guess, at the age of I was 5th grade, and I started helping in Bible hour and started puppeteering and things like that. Started leading singing and kind of raising the church, and we were one of those people that we went to church every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and anytime the doors were open, and if the doors weren't open, it didn't matter because both my parents had keys, and so we could get in no matter what. So I grew up in the church, going through, looking at different things, and finding innovative ways to get the gospel out there and get it preached most of all. I spent 8 years in children's ministry. The majority of that was in San Marcos at a small church in San Marcos, Texas. After getting my bachelor's degree from Austin Graduate School of Theology, I went into public education 2 years ago. Oh, I have right here in big letters, ADD. Just remember, as I said a while ago, I have ADD, and so I have the tendency to jump around and get really excited and start talking about things. If there's something I say and it doesn't make sense, please don't stop me because I'll never get back on the right track of train of thought. See me afterwards and I'll clarify, and we'll try to do it that way. As I said, now I am a 3rd grade teacher for Wincrest Elementary in Northeast Independent School District in San Antonio, Texas, and I love it. It is ADD heaven. However, it hasn't taken me out of leading worship, working, teaching second grade class on Sunday mornings and things like that. So I'm going to go ahead and kind of get started and tell you exactly where we're headed. First of all, what is the difference? Oh, and this will be interactive. We're a small group, and so there's not, 4,000 people here where I can feed off of each other. What is the difference between adult worship and children's worship? Okay, there you go. We can take that one. We are allowed to clap our hands and move our feet, okay? The other major difference, development, and that can go both ways too. My wife is an HR manager. I teach third grade that are 8-year-olds. She works with warehouse workers that are 22 that are third graders, okay? So it's the age, the development thing can come and go. The biggest difference, it's age. That's it. It's how you present it to your audience, and especially with worship. What is a worship leader? Okay, a teacher. Most importantly, guys, a worship leader is a leader. Okay, and I love leading worship. It is the most amazing honor to be able to stand up and to lead these souls that are here to praise God and lead them in worship. That is amazing. That is awesome, and that is an very awe-inspiring responsibility. Okay, it takes prayer. It takes getting your mind ready, getting your heart ready, just like any worship leader. It's a responsibility that I think that we shouldn't take too lightly, saying, well, I'm just going to sing a few songs. Well, yes, you are going to sing a few songs, but understand that you're leading those souls. You're leading that praise. You're leading those hearts to do what they need to do. In that, a worship leader is indeed a leader. At the same time, let's talk about the purpose of worship. When we gather as adults on Sunday morning, we're together, we come in, why are we there? There's no wrong answer. I'm not going to judge. There won't be a quiz at the end, I promise. Why do we come together as a church? To praise God, absolutely, and edify each other. To build each other up, to give praises to one another, to give praise to Him, to send glory two directions, up and out. It's no different for children's worship. We come together to, first of all, praise God. Secondly, we have to come together to edify each other. I don't care if you're 5. You can still edify the 4-year-old and the 7-year-old next to you. That's their responsibility, and they need to handle that responsibility. Because those are things that we don't take lightly. As mature adults, we understand that. I have learned in teaching children in children's ministry, and especially teaching in third grade, never assume anything. Well, this is just a really tough concept. I don't think a 6-year-old could understand this. Give them the chance. You'd be shocked at what they can grasp. And then one of these days, after you say it enough, they go, oh, you mean, huh? Who taught you that? Where'd you learn that? And they learn it because they've heard it enough and it clicks. Never underestimate the power of worship on a children's level. What does worship consist of? What do we do in worship? We sing. Very important. Praise is a very important part of worship. What else do we do? On Sunday mornings, we come together. What are we doing? Okay, we who? Okay, we study. There's a message. We learn something. Usually in our services, somebody gets up, a minister, an elder, a guest speaker, whoever, and gives us a message. That's going to be important. What else do we do together? We pray. Vital part of worship. Essential part of worship. And I have some time that I'm going to spend on that. There's one more thing that we get together to do as adults in our worship every Sunday morning. What is it? Okay, that's important. We're edifying each other. Communion. Oh, here's my thing that I'm going to say now. I'm going to give you a preempt. First of all, there are 4 things that I'm going to cover today. When it comes to children's worship, I'm covering praise, I'm covering prayer, I'm covering communion, and I'm going to cover a message. I'm going to hold communion, but I'm also going to tell you before we get going, guys, this is not my book. This is what I found to be important. This is what I found to be essential through studying and working with kids. So before we turn everything off yet, give me a chance to go through because I want to take it one at a time. Let's start with singing. Singing is considered what? Praise. Very important. We do it every Sunday morning. I'm so pumped to be at Tulsa again because tonight when we get in the huge building and the more people get in there and everybody's singing and then you got the four-part harmony and everybody's going and everybody's up. And I mean, it's just good stuff. Praise is essential to worship. It's no different for kids and children's worship. However, two words for you folks. Kinesthetic learners. Okay? When we get home every day, and your kids come in, and they want to sit down in front of the TV after they do their homework, because homework is very important to your education, what do we tell our kids to do? Lay down and be still. No! Go outside, play, run around, move around, get your energy out, keep going. What do they do in school? I know in my classroom, sitting in a desk all day is not permitted. I could lose my job for making my students sit in their desk all day. They're kinesthetic learners. They want to move around. They don't want to sit there with their hands in their laps and be still. When was the last time that your children did that for longer than, 32.8 seconds? It doesn't happen. Y'all are doing very good at it right now, though, by the way, just to let you guys know. It's one of those things that we don't encourage them to do until we get to church, where it's supposed to be the most fun they have all week, where it's the most important hour that they get all week. And then we say, sit down, be still, and have fun, and praise God, go. We can't do that. I have a hard time with that, which is why when I'm sitting in the pew, my leg is bouncing and my whole pew is bouncing. I have a hard time sitting still. That's the longest time I sit still is during church. Luckily, at our church, we get to stand up and sit down a lot. You know, stand for the prayer, sit down, stand for the... And that's good for me. I like that. Kids are kinesthetic learners. We encourage that. When it's singing, let's sing. Let's stand up. Let's stomp our feet. Let's clap. My favorite song, and I'm really sad that they're recording this, but that's why I have the Garth Brooks mic on here, sporting that today. One of my favorite songs is the throw-up song. The kids at church love the throw-up song. And you get to stand up and you get to hold your tummy like this. And you get to go, I think I'm gonna throw up. I think I'm gonna throw up. I think I'm gonna throw up. Throw up my hands and praise the Lord. And then you get the whole song about throwing your hands up and praising the Lord. It's a great day to praise the Lord. And everybody's clapping and we're walking and we're moving. And the kids are singing and they're singing louder. And the whole thing that they're singing so loud is how it's a great day to praise the Lord. I've done my job. I have led them successfully in worship, not just in singing, but we've heard it over and over and over. If you say something long enough, you start to believe it. It's a great day to praise the Lord. Four verses. Luckily, in this song, we get to walk, and then we get to walk, and the next time, we get to walk like a chicken, and then we get to walk like an Egyptian, and then we get to walk like a penguin, and we're doing all this stuff as we're singing about how it's a great day to praise the Lord, and everybody's excited, and you go, okay, sit down. Everybody goes, whoo, that was a great song. Next week, can we sing the throw-up song? We sure can. Because although you get to hold your tummy, the point is, it's a great day to praise the Lord, and I get to throw my hands up to do it. We're leading worship, but we're leading it on a children's level. There's tons of songs, and you guys know all the songs, and we have the motions, and we get to snap our fingers, and we get to pat our legs, and we get to stand up straight, and we get to sit down. Get them moving. One, it's good for them to enjoy the worship. Two, when it's time to listen to the Bible lesson, when it's time to get to that message, they're ready to sit down and be still for just 7 or 8 minutes. We've worn them out. Now we've got their attention. So there's twofold here. One, it's educational. It's a good way to teach. Two, you're still leading them in where you want them to focus. Okay? That's praise. Let's talk about prayer. How many of you believe let's say Bible hour with an opening prayer? Okay, start your class or Sunday school with an opening prayer, perhaps a closing prayer. I love that. But guys, here's my thing. You need to understand, and I'm not judging, and I'm not saying that this isn't the way it is, this isn't a judgmental statement. However, we have to take into consideration that it very well may be the only time they hear a prayer that's not for food is in your class. That could very well be a possibility in today's society. If the only time they hear a prayer is, "Thank you, God, for this food, amen." That's important. It's very important to thank God for our food. But there's so much more to prayer than just before we eat. We've got to educate our kids that. Because then they grow up to middle school and high school and they get to be adults and they still find prayer to be nothing more than thanking God for our food and our day. We've got to start here. If we start here, by the time they get here, they've got it. Here's what I do in my Sunday school class every Sunday morning. Before we start, it takes about 10, 12 minutes. If you have a Bible hour program with 50 kids, you don't want to do this. Your time will be up. But choose four people. As they come in, "Hey, would you like to say a prayer?" And I'm not going to discuss today and argue today, should women pray, should they not, should girls pray, should they not. I have my opinions. I'm going to respect your opinions. And I don't want to open a big conversation about that and have a big discussion because I am now 12 minutes in and only have, I can't do 40 minus 12, minutes left. So I let my girls in the circle when we're in class, we pray. The girls pray, the boys pray, I pray, everybody prays. I have a prayer dice.
Oh, he's got a prayer dice?
Yes, I do. I have a prayer dice. And I'm going to say this slowly because I have my beautiful PowerPoint slide, but you won't be able to see it because only I can. My prayer dice. I have written on my chalkboard. 1, thanks. 2, church. 3, family. 4, world. 5, praise. 6, your choice. You roll a 1, you're only going to pray for thanks. That's all you're going to pray for. I don't want you praying for anything else but thanks. Your prayer may be 2 sentences long, but you know what? That's important to God, and He loves every word that you say. We do a great job at teaching our kids that when we pray to God. We're talking to God. Super. That's what they need to know. But let's tell them how. Boys and girls, is it okay to be thankful for your toys? Absolutely. Are they a gift from God? You bet. Is it okay to be thankful for your brand new shoes that light up when you go like this? Absolutely. They're a gift from God. Say thank you for them. Thank you for Grandma. Thank you for my goldfish, Herman. Thank you for everything. That's perfectly fine. That's 1. Roll a 2, we pray for the church. Mr. Brunson, I don't know what to pray for about the church. Is it okay to pray for this building? Absolutely. But you know, the church is more than this building we're in. It's a nice building. And it saves us when it rains. We don't get wet. It's a nice building. But is it okay to pray for our preacher? You bet it is. Our elders? Absolutely. Pray for your mom and dad that they keep bringing you? Sure. Pray for the person sitting next to you? Absolutely. Because we're all part of the church. That's part of praying for the church. But my aunt goes to church in North Carolina. She's part of the church. Let's pray for her too, because she's part of our church. Our church doesn't just mean these walls. It's anybody that's a Christian. We can pray for all of them. Well, what do I pray about? You can thank God for them. You can pray that they'll keep doing what's right. You can pray that you'll keep doing what's right. You can pray that they'll help you and you'll help them. There's no wrong prayer when it comes to praying for the church. 3, family. Can I pray for mom and dad? Sure. Sister, aunt, uncle, cousin. That's fine. Family is not difficult for them to figure out. Well, what do I pray for family? Same thing we pray for the church. Whatever you want. Whatever you think needs to be prayed for. 4, the world. That's kind of a big prayer. What do I pray for the world? You pray for anything. You pray for our president. You pray for your school teacher. You pray for the war over across seas. We don't have to get into in-depth conversation about what it is, but you know what? They know it's there. They see it everywhere. It's perfectly fine to pray for our Army, Navy, Marine, all of these things. Let's just pray for our world. Let's pray that God can work in our world. That's a perfectly good prayer. 5, praise. This is the most difficult that I have found prayer for adults to make. To just sit there, and I find myself in my prayer, I'll start thinking about, I'm going to just pray, and I'm going to pray about praise today. And that's all I'm going to do. Dear God, and I'll start doing praises, and help me pass this test. My paper's coming due, and I got a deadline, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And my friend, it's so hard to stay focused on praise. So I ask them. They'll say, Mr. Brunson, I don't know what to pray about with just praising God. Well, let's do this. Let's go around the circle and let's just take turns saying what God is. God is big. Yes, he is. In heaven. Yes, he is. God is everywhere. He sure is. God is cool. Oh, God is cool. Let's give praise to God. God's cool. God's awesome. God's magnificent. God's huge. God's powerful. God's... You just filled up 3, 4, 5, 6 sentences of praise. That's all you have to do to pray for praise. Let's show them the methods and the things that they can do when they pray instead of only thanking God for food. Yes, that's important. We don't stop doing that. But I think it's essential when it comes to having the role responsibility of leading worship that we lead them in the direction to get them ready for worship when they're here. Okay? Instead of just here. Number 6 is your choice. They always like that one because they can choose what's easiest for them and they can just do a nice prayer. Or sometimes they'll say, it's my choice. Can I do 3 of them? You sure can. Because, you know, God likes all of our prayers. He loves to listen for that. And I always, no matter what happens, I roll the dice too. If I get my choice, I'll choose one that I need to do for my heart that day. Whatever one I roll, I model. As a teacher, it is essential that you model, not just tell. Model, show them, let them see what we're going to do. Number 3, communion. Every Sunday morning as adults, we get together, and it's one of my most valued and parts of worship that I love the most, and it's communion. Communion is a time when baptized believers sit around the table, we gather around the table, we think of Christ, we think of his blood, we think of his body, and we think of the sacrifice he did for us. In doing that, we follow the command of breaking bread and sharing juice, fruit of the vine, to remember the body, remember the blood. We know, and I know, and I'm a firm believer, we don't do that in children's worship. We don't need to pass around the grape juice and the bread and go into that much in-depth stuff. However, what is wrong with coming to a point in your children's worship and saying, guys, right now, I need everybody to sit down. We're going to calm down. We're going to settle down. And we're going to remember one of the most important things that has ever happened to any Christian anywhere in any church. I'm going to read just a short scripture, and it's just going to talk about that Jesus died for us and that we need to believe it. And then we're just going to bow our heads and we're just going to think about that just for 10 seconds. That's all we're going to do. We have just brought communion and that time of stopping to think about what we are told as Christians to think about when we come together on a 5-year-old level. We start training them here. When they get to junior high, high school, and they're that age of accountability, and they've never been taught that, and they have no idea what that is, and then we come up to them and go, well, you're supposed to think about Jesus and nothing else, so bow your head and pass the plate. What? I don't know how to do that. You just told me that now? I just got baptized. I mean, I believe it. I think it's important, but it's hard because it's a habit. We learn it as adults, and even still, when that plate comes by, I focus. Sometimes it's harder than others for me to focus. It will be for them, too. But at the same time, it's time for me to stop and meditate on what I need to believe in. Why can't we introduce that at a 5-year-old level? It doesn't need to be 15 minutes long. I'm thinking 15 seconds, 30 seconds, and you're done. But by the time they get to be 11 and 12, it's not culture shock when they get into an actual worship service of what they're supposed to do. They've already been trained. They may not understand the depth, nor would I want them to at the age of 5, 6, and 7. However, they know that it's important, and they know that it's a valuable part of worship. That's what I'm going to touch on communion. Okay, we're doing good. Halfway through. We're going to have some question and answer. Okay, a message. The most important part that I'm going to say about a message, please make sure you have one. Every worship service, every time you get together, we want to praise, we want to sing, we want to pray, we want to commune as a family, but we've got to have a message. Here's where I'm going to get into some demographics. Again, these are some suggestions, but they are only that. They're just suggestions. Now, I love having fun. I love jumping around. I love having a good time. Get our worship service started. But guys, when it comes to children's ministry, I'm a firm believer in the next statement that I'm about to make. Facts are facts. Fiction is fiction. It is essential as worship leaders that we do not confuse our students, the people that we are in charge of, the people that we are leading, with things that may or may not have happened. Point in case, we're doing a Bible lesson. Today, my Bible lesson is going to be done by these puppets. They're dressed up as Bible characters and they're going to act it out. Is that a good way to show a Bible lesson? Sure. One problem. And you're not allowed to answer this out loud because there's young ears in the room. Are we talking about fact or fiction? The Bible is fact. Don't cloud it with fictional characters. The Bible really happened. Don't present it as perhaps it could have or couldn't have. Another thing. I hope I don't step on toes here. I mean, if I do, I'm okay with that because I'm going back to San Antonio like in 3 days. But the point of this is, who loves VeggieTales? Love VeggieTales. Use them in worship. Enjoy them. Do not, and this is what I'm saying myself, I do not let them present the Bible lesson first. When Moses or when the God's people marched around Jericho, there were no Israelites that were peas. They weren't, okay? That's fiction. Is it a great way to present the lesson on that level? Yes, it's a wonderful tool to have. But please don't let them leave your service thinking, Mom, did you know that a giant pickle, he's a cucumber, a giant cucumber and some peas knocked down the wall of Jericho? And they threw big slushies at them? No, they didn't. It says nothing about that in the Bible. Keep facts factual and fiction fiction. In saying that, and okay, do I have any feedback on this at all? Any questions? Yes. Absolutely. In fact, the next 2 days I'll be teaching how to use puppets in our class in here, okay? I'm a huge puppeteer. I love that. But I'm going to preface that one by saying keep serious first. And fictional second, okay? When we used to do, and my mom and dad were always in charge of Bible Hour, and they really instilled this in me, and in doing that, they have shown me and I've seen how it does work and how if I don't do it a certain way, I see people that go home and tell things that happened that didn't happen in the Bible because of how I presented it, because I presented it on a real fun kid level, but I didn't let them know that it was true. It's just as true as Pokemon. No, it's not. It's fact. Pokemon is fun. This is fact. Before the Bible lesson, and usually we would have the Bible lesson as the third or fourth thing that we did. That way we present it, we do it from the Bible, they know what happened, and then we use the rest of our worship time to apply it, to retell the story, to use VeggieTales to retell the story, to use puppets to retell the story, to use dress up as kids characters to retell the story. They've heard the story 4 times, but the first time they heard it as truth. Okay, does that make sense? Keep facts factual and fiction fiction. At the same time, we can keep it serious before the lesson, but that doesn't mean to keep it boring. We can keep it serious and still have a good time. We can still do our fun songs and do these things. We can still have a great review game and get the kids pumped about worship, but we want to get them all pumped and going and going and going so that when we sit down, we can talk about the Bible. Okay? I'm going to shift gears to my next part of when it comes to the message. Well, Eric, this sounds great and all, but how should I present the lesson? I don't care. Present it in a way that your audience will get it. Here's some things that I've done. First and foremost, I am a believer Let the Word speak. We don't have to rewrite the Bible. It's worked all the way up into this time, and it's worked pretty good. Let it speak. Let these worshipers hear the Word of God the way it's written. I feel that we're not doing them any good, or we're actually doing an injustice if we take the Word of God and we, for no other better reason to say it, we dumb it down to their level. No, it doesn't need to be taken down to a different level. It's the Word of God. Does it need more explanation? Sure. But I use, and again, as a third grade teacher in my classroom, I use math vocabulary that is a high school level. Do I have to explain what it means in their terms? Absolutely. But when they hear that word after they've heard it 6, 7, 8, 142 times, they have it. They understand it. The Bible's the same way. Read it from them. Now, I'm also not saying that your Bible lesson needs to be 4 chapters in the book of Job. We need to pick and choose what we're going to present. There's some information in there that, okay, they're not going to understand. There's some information in there I don't understand, and I was a theology major. We pick and choose what we're going to teach. We study, we take out parts, and we make sure that we have what they need to know to get the point across. If it's, we explain everything in our words up into verse 7, and we read verse 7 through 11, and then we finish explaining. They've still heard the word. They heard what is written. That is essential to our worship as adults. I'm a firm believer it's essential to theirs. That being said, there's multiple ways I can do that. Read it. I remember when I was a youth minister in Magnolia, Texas, and one of our elders' wives was a fantastic storyteller. And she was just great Granny Fikes. We loved her, and she had the curly gray hair that was all up, and she would come in only for the Bible lesson. And what she would do is she would sit in her rocking chair, and she would fold her legs, and she would just start rocking. And we had all the lights off except one spotlight on her. And she would sit there and she would knit. And as she knitted, she would read the verses from the Bible in her lap. You could have heard a pin drop. It was the only time with 48 children from the ages of 4 to 3rd grade were silent. Because they wanted to hear every word that Great Granny Fikes had to say. And all she did was read from the Bible. She didn't explain it. She didn't preface it. That was our job as worship leaders. She presented it. Then the rest of the time, after that 3 or 4 minutes was over, we had the other 56 minutes, or if Lonnie would decide to go a little long-winded, 78 minutes to explain what Granny Fikes had read. But she went through and she would do exactly that. She'd just read it. Use people. Find people that have great talents. Let them in. Let them come in and do that. Show pictures of it. Now, I grew up in the flannel graph era. Loved the flannel graphs. And so did every first and second grade teacher in Sunday school. That's okay. Use it. Maybe not all the time, but use it. Show pictures this week. Just show a picture of what happens. That's perfectly fine. Dress up as a Bible character. Come out and tell a first-person account. Boys and girls, you wouldn't believe it. I'm sorry. My name is Moses, and you wouldn't believe it, but I walked right up to the side of that sea. And God told me that he would do it, and I knew I had to believe him. I trusted him. I knew he could do it, and then you wouldn't believe it. I was believing myself because I was seeing it, but I was still going, I can't believe it, but it was happening, and the water just went out, and everybody behind me, we walked through, and, you know, it's muddy after it rains, and there was no mud. It was all dry, and we just walked across, and I was trying to act like, yeah, I got this under control because I know God's in control, but I was sitting there the whole time thinking, why is there not mud under my feet? But Tell it. Use your talents to tell the story. Dress up in a Bible character. That's perfectly fine. But again, if I'm dressing a Bible character and I'm telling a first account, am I bringing fiction in? No, it's fact. Now, I don't know if Jesus always wore white with a blue sash around him, but you know what? That's the way we present it. And if I come out and tell that story, or someone else comes out and tells that story, that's okay. Because that's a man telling the story. Lot's wife could tell the story. Noah's wife could tell the story. That was one of my favorite that I ever saw, is Noah's wife told the story of what she went through as Noah's wife, based on the scripture of what Noah went through. Okay? Change it up. Find what works for your kids and bring that to them. Most importantly, get the scripture across. Get the point across. Now, that being said, as I wrap up in 9 minutes, I'm a firm believer, and even whenever I do my second grade Sunday school class, when I taught the adult class, the honeymooners class, that are young marrieds with no children, in the summer, I did 3 months of that. When I was teaching that, I taught them just like I do my third graders, and they all got it. Here's the thing when we're dealing with worship, when we're dealing with especially younger ones, find a point. Here's the story we're going to do today. Here's the point I want to get across. Not, here's the 7 things I want them to remember about this hour of worship. 1, we're doing the story of Noah. The only thing I want them to grasp from the story of Noah is trust. That's all. That's all we're talking about for the next hour. Trust. Nothing more, nothing less. In doing that, we always found it easy to have a key word. The key word today is trustworthy. Trustworthy? That's a huge word. 4-year-olds aren't going to get that. Oh, yes, they will. By the time we're done tonight and they've seen the word trustworthy presented 4 different times throughout the evening and the definition given and they repeat it back to me and I ask them again and they tell me again and I ask them again and they tell me again, they understand trustworthy. We should be trustworthy just as God is trustworthy. Was God trustworthy when Noah was building the ark? Absolutely. Did Noah have to trust him? Absolutely. I don't want to talk about Noah trusting and Noah obeying and Noah following directions and Noah taking care of his family. Too many points. I'm confused. 1 point. That's all we're doing today. We get trust down. Next week, we may do the same story, just go a little bit later. And we're going to do obey instead of just trust. Last week, we hit trust. This week, we're hitting obey. That's all we're doing. Our keyword today is obey. And we love obey because when you look at it, O-B-E-Y, it looks like Obi. That's not what Obi is. It's obey. You got to work on phonics because that's important to third grade teachers across the country. Make sure that you see the word, they hear the word, they understand the word, and that's the only point we're doing today. When they walk out of your worship that you have spent an exhausting amount of time preparing for and an even more exhausting amount of time delivering and leading them in, they need to get the point. 1 point. I can do that if I'm 4 or if I'm 32. I can get 1 point. Next week, we'll pick up something else. As I said, a key word. Use puppets. Love puppets. Love puppets. Use puppets to tell the story. Use puppets to apply the story. Use puppets, a dog puppet. What'd you do with your bone? Well, I lost it. Did you really? Well, yes, someone took it. Who took it? And so you got the farmer puppet talking to the dog puppet. Well, who took your bone? I don't know. Someone took it. I should have another one. That's so sad. I hate that they took your bone. Well, they did. Well, here, let me give you another one. They give him another bone. When in all actuality, he buried it for later. He lied to get another bone. Next time the farmer comes to give him a bone, is he going to trust him? No, because he lied. Now you've got an application of how important it is to be trustworthy, of how important it is for people to trust you. Did God lie in the story? No. We shouldn't either. 1 point. Then we're going to do role plays. You can present it as acting it out. Let the kids act it out. Today in the lesson, we had Noah. And I do this in my when I was teaching third grade at church. I would be the narrator. I need a Noah. I need two elephants. I need a Noah's wife. And I need someone to play the ark. And so I got my elephants over here and my giraffes over here. And I'd be telling the story. To be, well, once upon a time, we know in the Bible, in Genesis, there was this man. And he was a good man. And his name was... That's right, Noah. And so Noah decided, God said, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. And so he did. And so he went over and he started building the ark. And although Noah was thinking, I don't know if I should do this or not because it's dry land and it's never rained. And I don't know what to do. And what do you mean? All the animals are going to come in. When all of a sudden, here came two giraffes. And then from over here came two elephants. And they're all coming. So now they're acting it out. And they're... and all this stuff. So the kids are acting it out. The kids are busy. The kids are grasping it. Okay, now let's shake it all up. Everybody sit down. I want to do it one more time. And now they're like, oh, I want to be Noah. I want to be the giraffe this time. Can I be an alligator? Oh, I bet there were alligators on the ark. You can be an alligator. You know, let them get involved. Let them bring the story to life. Do role plays. Just as the people were up here, you can do the ingenious evil thing that my mother did. When we were working in Bible Hour, and I was like, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years old. Mom told me to clean my room, so like any self-respecting 6-year-old, I cleaned my room and put everything under the bed and yanked down the cover so it was clean. Ta-da! I was done. I disobeyed. I didn't do it. Well, then she said, is your room clean? Yes, ma'am. Let's go get ice cream. And so we got to go get ice cream because I cleaned my room. I lied. Guess what happened about a week and a half later on a Sunday night at Crockett Road Church of Christ in Palestine, Texas during our Bible Hour session? There was a role play of adults dressed as kids, and the mom comes in and says, all right, son, it's time to clean your room. Yes, ma'am. And then up go, and everything gets stuffed under and pulls it down. Did you clean your room? Yes, ma'am, I did. Good, let's go get ice cream. And they go, and they come back, and she goes, oh! Look at there. There's stuff under the bed. You lied. I can't trust you. And then, of course, she had to put the icing of the cake. Can I have some volunteers from the audience to come help me clean this up? Eric, why don't you? Okay, so I learned how to clean my room from that point. The point is, they dressed up, the adults dressed up as adults and kids to apply it. That's fictional. That's okay. It came after the scripture was read. It came after the facts were given. It was just another way to apply the one point, the important part of it. Okay? All right, doing well. That's my last one. Review. Review, 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 review. Before you leave, I don't care if it's as you leave tonight, I want you to look at one of the worship leaders here and I want you to tell them what tonight's keyword was. What the one thing that you got from this lesson was. Make them voice it. Hold them accountable for their knowledge. God holds us accountable for ours. He's going to hold them accountable for theirs. We should too. And in return, one of the worship leaders are going to tell you what they got out of tonight's worship. And then, not only are you being the teacher, but you're being the student, allowing them to hold you accountable for your knowledge and working. Mutual respect, mutual knowledge that's gained. All right, I'm going to sum up and then move on from here. I know this has been a whirlwind class. One thing I really want to say, and I'm going to add this on before I go, remember your kinesthetic learners. If you have the facility, move them around. I'll come to that again. See, my ADD mind's kicking, and I'm like, oh, and don't forget the lights. Okay, remember your kinesthetic learners. We would have, whenever I was working in Magnolia, we would have a large room. Here was puppets. We would get up and move over here to the carpet, sit on the floor on our tape. Teachers love tape on the floor. Sit on the tape or get on your carpet square. Sit on your carpet square. So this is for puppets. We don't ever do the Bible lesson here because this is the puppet stage. Now over here, this is where we tell the lesson. Let's all get up. It's time for us to go over and sit down for our lesson. But back here, this is where we do our singing because we can clap our hands and hold our hands up and we can stomp and we can make noise and we're having a good time. And then they start to realize, okay, here, good to yell, good to scream, good to clap, good to hold your hands up. Here, not so much. Here I need to listen. The Bible lesson area is where I need to act this way. But over here, I get to laugh and talk to the puppets and yell back and forth at them. Plus, in an hour's time, hour and a half time, however long your worship is, you've enabled them to get up, to get some of that energy that they've had, to talk to their friends for 15 seconds of transition time, to sit down, to get refocused, and go to the next thing. Arts and crafts is always in the back. I don't know why. That's just a rule that I had. Anyway, so move around, go through, let them go. Remember your kinesthetic learners. They don't sit in their desk all day at school anymore. We encourage them when they get home to not sit still, to run around. All week we tell them, go, do something, do something, do something, do something. And for that 1 hour we say, don't move at all. It's not fair. We're training them to continue to move to learn. We need them to move to learn here. Another thing of your window setup or your room setup, I am a big fan of using lighting. I don't care if it's hanging something from a ceiling that's a fire code. Don't count me on that one or say that I said that. Put the kids in the dark and what you want them to see in the light. If they can't see each other, they're not distracted. If all they're looking at is right here in the spotlight, that's what they're looking at. I'm not saying distractions won't happen. They're still kids. And we're still adults. We do the same thing. But put what you want them to see emphasis on. That helps a lot. I think that's all I have because I'm out of time. Okay, just a quick review. Four things that I covered today. Song, praise, prayer, make sure we do it. Educate them. Three, communion, it's not a bad thing on a five-year-old level. And four, message, let's make sure we have one. Most importantly, guys, I'm honored that you sat through the whole thing and listened without leaving. And the responsibility, I'm thankful that you gave me that responsibility. At the same time, I feel the same way every time I stand up in front of 5, 6, and 7-year-olds. Remember the responsibility and the value. And it's such an honor to lead those souls, those precious souls, in worshiping God. Thanks, guys, for sharing this time with me and for letting me share this time with you. If you have questions, I'm free to talk. I love talking, and so I have no problem with that. I'm also over by the Kids Zones, my booth, with the big fuzzy-haired puppet Burford. So come by and see me. Thanks, guys.